Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Hey there, gurus. We're speaking with Dan Mitry, CEO of New Wave Esports, an acquisition, investment, and technology development company with the goal of elevating esports. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm pretty excited to talk with you.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you. First off top, just first question I got to ask, what are you playing right now?
I am playing Gears of War 5. Just downloaded it last week. Went through the boot camp. I played Gears of War 4 pretty extensively. Couch co-op, had a lot of fun. But I'm certainly excited for 5. There's some really cool IP collaborations at play. But also playing some Super Smash Brothers. Always have to stay on top of that. Not very good at it, but I certainly have some fun. And then with all my other friends, I play Apex Legends.
Oh, man, those are some throwbacks. I remember playing Super Smash Bros. On the 64, having like calluses on my hands, just spinning around that stick. Those are some good days. Back to business here. I just wanted to ask you if you could, just really briefly, off top, no pressure, what would be the elevator pitch for New Wave Esports to an investor?
Yeah, that's a good one. So New Wave Esports, like you had mentioned as you opened the show, we are an acquisition, investment, and technology development company. And our goal is to, number one, elevate esports by placing working capital into small, mid-stage companies, sometimes even some large ones, and also build New Wave's brand awareness to become synonymous with esports. So, you know, we're all about finding the latest, awesome, greatest deals on the market across the globe, whether that's within teams, leagues, and organizations, platforms and networks, events and activations, or technology, and continuing to pump working capital into those companies, but also become a part of the team. So we're unlike your traditional investment group, where some investment groups will say, here's a check, you know, we'll check back every quarter, see how things are going. We actually strongly encourage and incentivize taking advisory roles. We want to sit within those teams, and we want to draw collaborations between our current portfolio and wherever those may exist, but also tap into our extensive network within esports and gaming and our financial world. So we really are a holistic solution for those looking for investment. And we're also going public here at the end of the year. So now the public can actually get involved by placing their investment within New Wave Esports. We'll be listed on the CSE. It's a big monumental achievement for us. So now we're really coming into that two-prong sort of strategy. Allow investment vehicle for the public, but also take investment dollars and put those into companies to grow the esports industry as we know it. We obviously are very passionate about it.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on your future listing, by the way.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You know, one of the things we like to remind new investors of on the site is something Warren Buffett, I'm going to paraphrase here, but it's, you know, you want to invest in industries and sectors you understand. You know, I'm not a computer engineer. I don't understand how microchips work. I'm a writer. So I'm going to probably stay away from Qualcomm and the like. But as we touched on at the beginning of the episode, you guys really are gamers. You're in the industry, not just gamers. You understand the business. You're not just writing checks. And how do you feel that that's changed your approach to your investments? Because, you know, esports, as you know, you've got a number of investments here, you know, besides gaming teams, fantasy esports sites. You know, there's so many different diverse ways to invest in this sector. I guess you really do need to know where the money is, where interest is, and it's just so diverse, right? You could go any direction with it.
Yeah. So a couple answers to that actually is how do you qualify a good deal over another? How do you sniff out great opportunities? Well, you need to lean into experts, and that's what New Wave is comprised of. Myself, I have a background of 17 plus years of gaming industry experience. I sat on the publisher and developer side. So I worked with AAA publishers, bringing global marketing campaigns to life, tapping into community engagement programs, really understanding how gamers latch on to the games we make, that it becomes a lifestyle for them, especially as we turn games into a live service, which is the post-launch phase of great content that comes out every week, every month, every day, whatever that schedule may be. But also just understanding the cultural nuances across the globe of how games are played, enjoyed. It's very important to have that foundation because it does plug into esports. Then we pave way to esports, which is relatively new here in North America when compared to Asia, certainly when compared to Europe. But they take a lot of the cues from what the developers are doing with their games and what the publishers are doing in support of the competitive gaming communities that surround the games we love. And so we know that esports, it can't be forced. It's certainly a component that is adopted by the community. It says, hey, yes, we love Apex Legends. We want to play this competitively. And so then that then turns into teams and orgs mobilizing around that game. You have big time events that are being produced and, you know, the logistics behind venue production to platforms and networks hosting online tournaments. And so you need to have that experience knowing, you know, whether a game is here for the long haul or not, and then all the ecosystems of esports that then fuel that and support the growth of esports within those games. Now, you marry that expertise with the financial side of things, which is a whole different language. And I'm very, very excited to be counterbalanced with our president, Trumbull Fisher, who is about a 15-year veteran in the financial sector, sits there up there in Canada, has run his own hedge funds, and also raised about $3 billion in capital for cannabis and mining, and now brings his expertise over to esports. So we really are this two-headed dragon, I like to say, that blends the esports network and experience and gaming side of the business with the financial side. So let us be the experts for you. You know, when you're looking to place investment, how do you know as a, you know, whether you're a hardcore gamer, a new investor, or even a seasoned one that is not necessarily privy to esports and gaming, how do you know and discern what a good deal is? Well, that's what New Wave is here for. And we're sniffing those out. We're building a diverse portfolio around some of the sectors that we talked about that allows you to place your money with confidence. You know, like I said, we'll be listed on the CSE. It's a very simple way to do that. And take the guesswork out. Let us do the hard work for you.
Speaking of your holdings, as I touched on in that last question, you've got a broad portfolio. Would you be able to introduce our listeners to some of your interests?
Yeah. So we look at the esports industry in four different sectors currently. Those are the biggest opportunity for revenue growth. The first one being teams, leagues, and organizations. I think that's no surprise for a lot of people listening. There's big headlines coming out from there. You know, you got 100 Thieves raising 30, 40 million. You've got Gen G paving way. Like Cloud9 is valued at 310 million. There's some serious money involved, but it's also creating some of the biggest headlines. So, you know, look at our investment in Tidal. Tidal owns and operates Team Lazarus, which is one of Canada's premier esports teams. They took second in the duos at the Fortnite World Cup. They took fourth in the singles, won a side brawl, and took home $3.5 million. So that put them on the map. The world knows who Lazarus is now and really helped with their brand awareness and recognition. But more importantly, brought in a great revenue source for Tidal to expand their operations and continue building the pedigree that Lazarus is starting off with. So we're really excited about that sector specifically because that's where a lot of money is coming in. There's and I want to say each sector has their own revenue streams specific to it. So like teams, leagues, and orgs, you have sponsorship, which is going to make up your biggest revenue. You have media rights and licensing fees. You have merchandising, and you have a couple others, which are really important for teams and orgs and those executive teams and leaders that are running those organizations to dial in, really find the biggest profit margins available, and continue making a sustainable company. And feel free to stop me along the way for any questions. The second sector that we get involved in is platforms and networks. So teams, leagues, and orgs, awesome, great headlines, affects the top of the pyramid. But then how do you bring esports and competitive gaming to the rest of the world that may not be able, may not have the opportunity to go to an event, or may not be confident or good enough in a game, but still pretty damn good in their own right? Well, that's through platforms and networks. So we're talking online tournament networks. We're talking esports gambling and betting sites to a wide variety of different networks. And so we like to place investment into companies that are opening up competitive gaming for the larger audience at a global scale. And that's that bottom of the pyramid that provides the foundation for esports. Thirdly, is our events and activations. So this is the real experience of esports in a real life environment. If you've never been, and listeners, if you've never been, I really do encourage you to check out your local esports event. Go to it. It is electric. It really is. One of our companies that we invested in is Even Matchup Gaming, and they run Canada's biggest Super Smash Brothers tournaments and one of Tri-State's biggest. And this past year, in early 2019, we held Get On My Level. And we saw 2,100 kids come out, young adults to full-time, 25 to 35-year-old gamers, come out and see this event in person, compete. And there was also about just under a million unique views on Twitch. So these are those raw, visceral moments that we want to capture and build great, sustainable business around the actual put on your boots, go to an event. And this supports all the games that are played at a competitive level. And this attracts, obviously, sponsorship. We're seeing some great non-endemic interest coming in, which in turn helps our revenue streams and keeps our sustainable business going. And also to note, our third investment we placed was Playline. That goes back to the platforms and networks. They are a daily fantasy sport betting platform that's available on iOS and web and Android. But they're making the move over to esports with a great Twitch Rivals program coming up. Got a great collaboration with NASCAR where they're at each of their events and rolling out this daily fantasy sports betting platform. So that's a good example of how, you know, this you can get involved with competitive gaming esports at the wider, larger community. And then finally, the fourth sector that we've determined has the biggest growth opportunity is technology and tools. So we've acquired a company called Thunderbolt. They're based out of L.A., and they're currently conceptualizing solutions for the growing needs of esports. What does that mean? Well, there's a lot of different tools and tech that's needed to push esports forward, such as coaching tools. You know, coaches coming in, helping their teams become better and laying down better strategy, or players trying to up their skills. So there's a couple of great companies that do this in an interactive way that's available on web and iOS and obviously PC and all that. And there's a lot of other different technologies and tools that are coming around. How do we adopt the mobile 5G coming in? That's going to impact the way we watch and play esports titles. What's augmented reality doing? What's VR doing? So we have our ear to the ground, and we want to develop solutions for, obviously, you know, those needs that were coming out in the industry. So I'll end by saying that, you know, we have a very diversified portfolio. It's important for us to build economic durability into New Wave. As esports continues to grow, there will be a market correction. But those who are looking at their businesses, number one, ethically, number two, sustainable and running great business practice, I think are going to be resilient. They're not going to have any problem. And that's what we're doing on the New Wave side. So we believe in diversified portfolio because, as esports grows, we'll allocate our resources to those revenue growth opportunities, but also listening to where some potential new opportunities may be coming through.
Well, wow, you weren't kidding. That was a diversified portfolio.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now. Welcome
back. You know, going back to one of our pre-interview conversations, I asked you, you know, where is the money coming from? Because, you know, we primarily cover cannabis here, a lot of resource, a lot of tech. It's not so hard to understand how money's made. You have a facility, you grow X amount of pot, or you have a mine, and it makes this much gold. You take that to the market, you sell it, no problem. We're familiar with how Ubisoft makes money. We're familiar with how GameStop makes money. But, you know, besides making and selling the games, I personally was kind of confused. I was like, where is the money going to be made? So games, you got teams. That revenue comes from sponsorships. Mm-hmm. Companies like Playline, obviously it's an esports site, like Betfair in the UK, that's sort of says itself. Even Matchup Gaming, like you said, you know, ticket sales. I mean, they're selling out. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're selling out stadiums in Korea for this stuff. Am I right?
Yeah, within that events and activation sector, yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I remember sneaking into the computer lab at lunch to play Dota and just being like, you know, I should probably study, but maybe I should have been playing video games a little bit more. You know, maybe it would have been a little bit more profitable for me. And then Thunderbolt, of course, the tools and tech. You are so there's. What I was trying to say before in a really fumbled way, and great job unpacking that question, is like it's so much more than just making video games now. And I think that's what people are having a little bit of a tough time understanding. It's not just about making video games, selling. There's so many sectors surrounding esports now. But you mentioned a correction. I'd love to pick your brain about that. Could you expand a little bit more? You said there's going to be a correction in the near future.
Yeah, I think as more investors get involved in esports, the public starts to have a critical eye on the growth of esports. You know, we see a lot of overvaluations of companies that are coming online or have progressed and matured, and all those valuations are coming from comparable companies. But what we need to do is break down really the true valuation of these companies. You know, what is their potential of top line revenues? What's their profit margins look like? You know, are they unique in the space? What's their audience reach look like and their market penetration really, truly, what's their potential there? So I think as we start to see esports mature in North America, especially globally over the next 2-3 years, we'll see the big winners come out and we'll see those who were sort of just fluff evaluations. Obviously, you know, I want to see winners across the board. And I hope that a lot of our leadership teams humble themselves and say, you know what, this is realistically what we plan on doing. Let's market that and communicate that internally and externally. Let's kind of get humbled here, because whenever there's a single winner, you know, the esports industry moves forward. And unfortunately, when one company fails, that kind of hurts us all. And then there's obviously the overinflation of viewership. You know, it really comes down to the metrics and the tools that we use to quantify those who are watching esports or participating in esports in any sort of capacity, whether it's locally, regionally, nationally. So we need better tools like, say, traditional sports with the Nielsen ratings. And there's been a lot of buzz this past week with, I believe it's Overwatch League adopting the Nielsen as well. And that's a much more accurate assessment of your audience size. And then that will then obviously pave way to the propensity to engage and monetize further based off of those behavior actions and all the ecosystem loops that you have in play within your business sectors. So we need a more accurate reporting of viewership and audience size. We need better data tools to understand trends and behaviors within esports. And a lot of that stuff already exists. We just need to adopt it from TV ratings. We need to adopt it from our publishers and developers who have great telemetry hooks within their games to understand trends and behaviors. So let's get more pointed. Let's get more intelligent with understanding the gaming community. So that way we can make better products and also attract the right investors with the right dollars to expand.
It really is changing. I mean, you touched on this at the beginning of the podcast that it's gaming is it. There's a real cultural shift that I've definitely sensed in the last few years. You know, I don't know if it's the predominance of nerd culture or maybe like Marvel has some credit in this, but this like comic books, video games, these sort of Funko Pops, they've really shifted from like an off-brand like fringe culture into the mainstream. It's quite incredible. But with that, you know, there are some downsides as well. I mean, more attention, of course. I mean, you know, school shootings have always been blamed on you know, there's first is the satanic panics in the 80s and 90s, blamed on D&D and whatnot. Then there's now it's people are blaming violent video games for school shootings. So, you know, as things move to the mainstream, more investment, more attention, also some more downsides. Real quick, Dan, before I let you go, what, not to have you give too much away here, I know you've always got something cooking, but what are you excited about? Can you talk about any trends that you see developing? What's on the cutting edge? What really gets you going in the mornings these days with esports?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. There's a lot going on and there's a lot to listen to and see where things start to pan out. I've been excited to see what happens with the teams and leagues. You know, like I said, there's a lot of big money coming in, and obviously the publishers really have done a great job at setting up their regional franchise leagues. You know, whether it's like Riot with the League of Legends World Championship across Europe and Korea, you know, Asia and North America, or the Overwatch League or Call of Duty. You know, there's obviously a big franchise buy-in there, but when you do buy in, you're a part of the family and you get to reap the benefits of that economic ecosystem that those publishers have set up. But I'm really excited to see where the profitability starts to come through and how that starts to penetrate the mass audiences. So kind of back to your main point there that you opened up on was gaming is very much not that otaku sort of thing anymore. It's much more mass audience, and there's a lot of complexities as to why that is. You know, games certainly came from a very niche audience, which was sort of a single player experience, to something that's much more mass audience palatable. You could thank sports games for that. You could thank interconnectivity with the internet. We socialize through games more. So sure, within esports, I'm certainly excited to see where teams and leagues go. But I'm also excited to see where the gaming industry pushes games forward. You got the next gen consoles that are coming out. How's that going to keep us even more so connected with our friends and family, connected with the brands that we have fallen in love with, and connected to the culture of gaming? And you have all the other components that come with that. You know, what's Twitch doing to elevate their live streaming service? How's Mixer going to come in and become a great competitor for that and push innovation? Where's the new tech going that's going to allow us to connect to gaming across all our devices on a daily, frequency? So it was a pretty loaded question there. But I am excited as a gamer myself to see what next year brings, not only with tech, not only with the software, so the games that are coming out like Cyberpunk, oh dude, definitely look forward to that. but also, you know, where esports is going to continue to grow and sort of where that market correction will lie.
Fair enough, my friend. That's Dan Mitra, CEO of New Wave Esports. Thank you for joining us on A Closer Look. And yeah, this is a great discussion. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That concludes another episode of Equity Guru's A Closer Look. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.